Here's a question. Should you go to grad school? For many college seniors donning their caps and gowns this month, graduate school seems like a natural next step, right? But for humanities students considering, say, an MFA in poetry or a doctoral degree in English literature, the question ultimately becomes, if I don't need a higher degree to do what I want to do, why get one? So joining me now to explore that question are Jessica Loudis, one of the editors of the book, Should I Go to Grad School? 41 Answers to an Impossible Question. Jessica, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
And this book is a collection of essays written by artists, writers, filmmakers, and others who have grappled with the question of grad school for a humanities subject. So also joining me in the studio are two of the essayists, writer and editor Michelle Orange and artist David Levine. Welcome, Michelle and David.
Hey.
Nice to be here.
And listeners, are you a humanities major deciding whether to go for a higher degree right now? 212-433-WNYC. Chime in or ask a question. Or have you recently completed a graduate degree in a humanities field? What has grad school done for you and your work and your career? Or has it just gotten you into debt? 212-433-9692. Is there something you wish you'd known before you made that decision that you want to share with listeners who may be making it right now? 212-433-9692. So, Jessica, in your introduction to the book, you say that if you approached the grad school question from a purely economic angle, your book would be much shorter and far more depressing. What would that book have looked like?
I think it would have been the same essay over and over and over again, which is just about how there are no jobs at the end of a doctoral program. It's really difficult to make it through on a graduate stipend. And it just doesn't make sense in a lot of ways unless you feel as if you know you have to do it and are totally confident you can get a job on the other end of it.
Michelle, you wrote about your experience coming from Toronto to New York to enroll in a graduate film studies program at NYU. What were the pros and cons for you, or was it a very clear slam dunk decision?
For me, it was a major life decision. It wasn't just about the academics. I was in my mid-20s and living in Toronto, working in Toronto, had been working for a few years, and really just felt like I wasn't sure where to turn at that point, and knew that I wanted to live in New York City, that I wanted to write, but school seemed like the most viable option. And I had studied film as an undergraduate and knew it was something that I would enjoy and get a lot out of, so I think the big pro was New York City and just making an enormous change in my life, and that's what happened.
And spoiler alert, your essay ends by saying your advice only applies if you can escape grad school with little to no debt. So what's your advice to prospective grad schoolers who are concerned about that?
Well, it's because I am Canadian and I do come from a different viewpoint in that way. You wind up paying about almost 10 times more to go to a graduate school here, at least at a place like NYU. So I certainly didn't follow my own advice in that regard, but I think it's a toss-up. I mean, if you want it badly enough and you're willing to go into some amount of debt, then that's a personal choice. But I just I have real reservations about the amount of money that kids wind up spending.
And David, you got your master's in English literature from Harvard, but your essay is mainly about dropping out of the PhD program. So what changed between your master's and the dissertation?
Well, the master's you only get if you drop out. That was the way Harvard was arranged at that point. So I dropped out. The master's was already implicit, so it wasn't
that
like
was the consolation prize.
Yeah, or it's just something you get in the mail afterwards. I think for me, grad school was actually more a way of not making any decision at all, but just postponing making all decisions because I went straight from undergrad. And it was just sort of, I think I was in a pretty much a daze for most of it.
So there's a real contrast between the two of you. For you, grad school was about making a life decision.
Exactly.
And for you, grad school was about avoiding a life decision.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
although
true.
How could it be both?
Well, perhaps because I didn't go straight in. You know, I worked for a few years, and because the location really did mean so much to me, and I knew I'd be leaving behind everything that I had known up to that point, and it was a very conscious sea change in my life that I was prepared to make at that point.
And I think also, with me, it was really about a family thing. I mean, it was sort of like, you know, the story of, you know, like, the kid whose dad is like, you know, I'm a dentist, you're going to be a dentist, you're, you know, and so there was just this you know, there was this atmosphere.
No, I'm not. I'm going to keep exploring myself, even though I don't know what I'm heading toward.
Right. So it was just sort of, in a sense, it was kind of understood that this is what I would do, and it kind of, and so it just, that, I think that's, so it the big break would be not doing it. And I think for you, it sounds like the big break was exactly, exactly getting away from it. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we have a full board of callers struggling with this or who have struggled with this, as our guests are an editor and two contributors to the book, Should I Go to Grad School? 41 Answers to an Impossible Question. And Doug in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I called in because I'm going to be applying to master's PhD programs in the fall in performance studies. And I'm coming to that, coming after a few years of trying to be an artist. And being an artist, so I make weird theater pieces, performance art event stuff. And deciding to sort of abandon what I guess would have been an art career, if such a thing exists, to go into the academia track.
So you're not doing this to try to advance your performance career. You're doing this to what? Try to teach other aspiring performers?
I would say mostly to try, you know, to try to find a life for myself that I find fulfilling. It's certainly possible to keep making art within the academy, certainly at a much less intense rate than even, you know, balancing it with a day job here in New York. Being able to do research and teach others and find some time to make work seems like a viable, great future, a great life. And sort of bouncing around doing, like, temping for years and years, hoping mm-hmm. maybe that there's some way of making the work I'd want to make in a professional capacity seems unrealistic and, you know, not as fun.
Are there a lot of teaching jobs in performance studies?
You know, not a ton. I'm well aware the statistics are sort of against me on that, like they are throughout the humanities. But I think, and I know this is true about a lot of other artists I know making this consideration, the odds still seem to beat the odds of making it a successful career in the arts.
Now, in our studio, as you're telling your story, Jessica is pointing at David, and David is smiling. Why?
I was actually just thinking about Michelle's comment about debt and the way in which we kind of ennoble artists who go into debt for their art. At the same time, we warn grad students, you know, never go into debt for grad school, which was, I mean, I had the same set of conditions. I wasn't going to go into debt for it either. And it's just a strange thing about how debt is a mistake, taking on debt is a mistake in one regard, but valorized in another regard. In terms of, you know, and as you say, I mean, the odds seem about even. I'm curious, though, why you think getting a PhD or a master's would entail moving away from making art necessarily.
I don't really. I just think it would probably, and this is more based on conversations with people who've done this, it would just mean working a little less frequently. And under, you know, potentially more restrictive conditions, especially compared to, you know, probably be moving out of New York City, given where most of these programs are. And even if I had tons of time to make work in any place that wasn't New York City, I'd find it considerably more difficult just without New York's resources.
Fair enough, right? Since most of the teaching jobs are not here, even though there are a fair number of colleges here. Doug, good luck. Uh-oh, cautionary tale alert on line 4. Catherine in Manhattan. Catherine, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Yeah, I think I'm very much like Jessica in that I wanted a big change in my life. I already had my MA, and I had worked for 3 years. I got my MA in English. Then I worked for 4 years, and I decided I was very bored with the 9-to-5. I could either stay in Buffalo and have a baby or move to New York and get a PhD in theater history. I'm wrapping it up now, and I just want to beg Doug not to do it.
Whoa, Doug, are you still listening? Uh-oh.
I just want to say, and to anyone who's listening, don't ever take on debt for a humanities degree. I have 4 brilliant colleagues who dropped out at the dissertation stage, tons of brilliant colleagues who cannot find jobs. Please, you know, read the Chronicle of Education for a year and read the blog the professor is in and the stories of humanities scholarship debt before you make that decision. it's a really difficult, it's a very difficult road. And only do it if you think it's going to, for the process itself, not for a career end goal.
But if you're just finishing your dissertation in theater now, if I understand, why shouldn't we ask you this question in 5 or 10 years rather than you coming up with an answer today before you even try?
Well, I mean, I've been adjuncting. I've been sort of being, I've been being used for cheap labor by CUNY for 5 years. And it's, you know, throughout all of my 30s, and it's, I haven't been able to contribute to my own retirement or do the things that professional workers are supposed to be able to do. So you take a chunk out of that professional track while you're doing all this scholarship that is mainly for yourself. And if you can find an artistic community where you can explore ideas and make work without putting yourself in debt, and you know, you're going to protect yourself in the long run and still hopefully have a fulfilling life, is what I would say.
All right, thank you. Well, everybody's got their stories, and it sounds like Catherine's disappointed. She has some regrets that she might as well have just been pursuing her theater, is what it sounds like in her case, than taking all this debt to sidetrack to teaching, because it would be an easier day job. Apparently not so. Well, but these essays, Jessica, I think it's fair to say, are largely not so much about economics, but about learning how to create an intellectual community around your area of interest and whether going to grad school is instrumental in creating that community. So, well, David and Michelle, let me ask you. Michelle, was that one of the most important things about your experience?
In retrospect, it was. At the time, I don't think I felt that happening, but maybe that's always true. In retrospect, I certainly look back and I look at the people that I met in the program who wound up doing great things in film writing and film journalism, and feel connected to them, and we've helped each other through the years, and that's something that I value, it is part of what I sought in coming here. Because with a program like that, again, as you're moving from a different country, you do have this built-in social and support group.
So, Jessica, what else do people do in lieu of grad school to not only stay active in their field, but also stay engaged in sort of a high level of conversation?
It depends. It depends where you live, who you're surrounded by. I go to a lot of readings. Bookstores, I seek out talks, things like that. I think you sort of find your people when you land somewhere, and you just naturally follow your interests, and you can make that intellectual community wherever you are. I think grad school is just often a convenient place to find it, and for certain people, the way that conversations happen is a little better suited for the way their minds work.
Avi in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, what's your story?
So I was an English major in undergrad, English literature, and I was also a cartoonist. And I was trying to figure out what to do for a couple of years, and I ended up going to grad school for education. And it was really, really expensive, but the school I went to, I definitely got what I paid for. And I can't imagine being a teacher now without having learned what I needed to learn. So I think it really depends what you're going to get at grad school as well, besides just the degree, what you're going to learn, what skills you're going to get in order to do the job you want to do afterwards.
Thank you very much. And let's go to Gina in Greenpoint. Gina, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. So basically, I'm actually starting grad school in the fall, so this whole kind of conversation seemed to apply to me, but I had a pretty tough decision deciding whether or not to go and what to go for, because I'm a photographer and a writer, and so I was deciding whether or not to get an MFA or to do a master's in journalism, and I decided on journalism, so I'm going in the fall.
Because journalism is the fast route to financial security, right?
Exactly.
Where you
but
go?
It actually seemed a little more geared towards financial security than an MFA.
I hear you. So where are you going?
I'm going to Berkeley.
Congratulations.
And thank you.
Are you going to pay out of pocket or take a loan? Or are you getting a TA position or anything like that?
Well, I went to high school in California, so I do qualify for California residency, even though I currently live in New York. It's not terrible. It's about $15,000 a year.
Right. In-state tuition.
Yeah, in tuition. And then you have the opportunity to be a TA the second year, so I'm probably going to do that, which would, I think, bring it down to about zero. So I should only be in, like, $15,000 debt. And then, you know, I mean, the tough thing about it is also not working and having to pay your rent and living expenses. So that is something I haven't right. quite figured out how I'm going to do yet. But
Gina,
I'm going to take out loans.
Good luck with it.
But Thank you.
I just want to point out, my debt skyrocketed the minute I left grad school.
Really?
Yeah, because then I was being an artist, and then I had no debt until I left grad school. How did you
finance grad school?
Grad school, I got a good grad school. I got a good ride. I mean, I got a fellowship, and uh-huh. It was fun, but it's just, I mean, there's a lot of decisions and a lot of kind of emotional and effective things around debt and that aren't just in terms of whether or not
the
it's going to pay off.
The tuition and the immediate yeah. housing expenses. That's interesting, because I know, thinking about Gina, that when I was applying to grad school for journalism, which I went to, there were plenty of programs. I mean, I had been 4 years out of undergrad and I was working as a journalist, so I had some experience in the real world. But there seemed to be plenty of programs to assist the graduate students in earning their tuitions. I didn't have trouble finding several universities that would take me for a grad program with a TA job where I would get a stipend plus all my tuition paid. So I wonder if these types of graduate assistantships are widely available or widely unavailable in the humanities, and whether that's a big factor today and whether it's changing. Jessica.
I think it is. I mean, I know a lot of the top flight humanities PhD programs are fully funded, like David's was. And I think I've heard just anecdotal stories about master's programs that are offering assistance to students. Somebody told me the other day that their brother was actually recruited by a program at NYU and is not only having his tuition covered, but is also getting paid to be there. So I'm not really sure, but I think every situation is totally different, and it really just depends.
All right. Well, appropriately unresolved, but some further exploration of the question, should I go to grad school? The title of the new book, edited in part by Jessica Loudis, contributed to by Michelle Orange and David Levine, our other two guests, their essays and many more can be found in that book. Again, should I go to grad school? 41 answers to an impossible question. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And keep that question in mind as we get ready to talk to Stephen Dubner from Freakonomics, who says he's got the hardest three words in the English language to say together, I don't know. Stay tuned.